Broadcasting live from the original Gravenstein Apple Fair. This is the one, isn't it?
It is. How many years is this? 44?
This is the 44th, and we've been here for 20 years at the Gravenstein, starting in 96, so 21 years.
So do you remember it back in 1996? It was smaller then. Obviously.
It was much smaller.
Yeah.
And it has just grown to be kind of the destination fair in Sonoma County because it's so unique. Yeah. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and you have been an integral part of this fair for many, many years, going back to the Chef's Invitational back in 96 when we first started broadcasting here.
Yeah.
Invited a lot of, it's funny to look back, restaurateurs of restaurants that are no longer here to participate with creating Apple themed recipes, and there was judging involved and awards and presentations.
Yeah.
And that was a great few years.
Well, and it still goes on, you know, with the chef. It's a little different in terms of the chef demos now, but it's always exciting. And it's exciting to see the young chefs. I say young because I'm so old, who have now taken the reins.
Yeah, and the chef demos, once again, the chef's tent is sponsored by Shed. It's Rob Hogenkamp from Three Leaves Foods, his recipe of apple, celery, and kimchi salad. That's at 12. At 1:30, Mariana Gardenhire from Backyard Forestville, we've had on a number of times.
Yeah.
Mariana's doing a Lucumades Gravenstein apple and wild honey.
It's
little Greek yeasted pastry.
Ah, got it.
Is what my understanding is. Soaked in honey.
Okay.
Sounds good. Then at 3 p.m., our friend Mateo Granados from Healdsburg's Mateos. His Cochina Latina. He'll be demonstrating apple and shishito salad with petrolli sole. And that's all the Saturday Shed events in the chef's tent on at noon. Michelle Anna Jordan. Her recipe of apple chowder with apple remoulade garnish. She'll be featuring that. Then at 1:30, Natalie Goebel from Handline. Her recipe, apple fennel soup with walnut crumb and wild fennel pollen. And then at 3 p.m., the finale with Chef Perry Hoffman from Shed. His recipe, trout tartare with Gravenstein apple salsa, farro verde, and summer herbs.
Wow.
Pretty exotic.
So it's very, you remember what the recipes used to be?
Used to be
apple pancakes. And
well, but now, you know, I'm remembering back in 2010 that you did a demo of your Gravenstein John Ash grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, do you remember?
But much simpler. It's one of my favorite things.
And that was with the apples.
With apples and a kind of curry mayonnaise and cheese on top of it, and you melted it all together, and it was really delicious.
It was, and that was your short-lived venture. what was that called again?
It was called Hot Cheese.
Hot Cheese, yes. Yeah. And John Ash promoting, and it was going to be a worldwide, like, it was going to be challenging McDonald's at one point.
I had this fantasy of, you know, we'll start this, and we'll be able to travel everywhere with our little hot cheese tent.
And they were fantastic grilled cheese sandwiches.
Do you know what the problem was? They took too long to make. And so people would get kind of pissy.
Well, it wasn't a 90-second product.
No.
But they were great. The year you were here, people loved it. There was a line out the door for your grilled cheese sandwiches. Well, we should always do some toasting, don't you think, to start off the show?
I think so.
And I think to that end, we should probably chat with Ryan Johnston and Ned Lawton, co-owners of Ethic Ciders. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great to be here.
I saw you, Ryan, as part of the Gravenstein Apple presentation out in Occidental. You were sitting on a panel, was it about a month ago? It was called New Horizons, and that was Apple Farmers and Cider Makers, a conversation about apples in Sonoma County. And you were part of a really eloquent panel talking about how cider makers can work well with farmers so that everybody can participate and make some money along the way, and also help increase our apple production here and maybe make a new viable alternative to use our apples. So thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
And Ned, nice to meet you too.
Thank you.
So Ethic, I had not heard of your company before going to the seminar, and I tried your ciders and I was knocked out. So that's why I decided to invite you to join John and me today, because I just love your ciders.
Thank you.
Is this your first year participating in the cider tent here at the Gravenstein, or were you here last year?
Yeah, so we were volunteers last year, so this is kind of exciting for us to actually be here pouring our own ciders. We've been working on Ethic Ciders for about 3 years, trying to perfect our skills. And we sort of dreamed of coming to the fair and actually having our own ciders to pour. So we're super excited.
When did your first bottling, commercial bottling, occur?
So commercial bottling, we're actually only 3 months from start.
Wow.
So May was our launch. And there's a Cider Summit in San Francisco, which is a great venue that happens. And there's about 50 to 60 cider producers there that come together. So that was our launch. And we got the first time to be able to have people come try our ciders.
And where do you grow? Where's your trees grown? Are they all in Sebastopol or Marin, or where are they?
Oh, they're all in Sebastopol. I mean, all the apples in those ciders sitting in front of you came from about 5 miles from where we're sitting right now. So we have a 3-acre farm. We manage about 3 acres of apples, just about 4 miles north of here. And then all the Gravensteins and some of the Goldens came from right around us here in Sebastopol. So they're all dry farm Sebastopol organic apples.
And you're a local boy, aren't you?
I am a local boy. I grew up here out in West County, out in Occidental. So left for some time and now back in the area, and sure feels like home.
So apples for cider are different or not? I've always heard this thing that the apples for cider you wouldn't want to eat. Is that true?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things, the way we came into cider was we bought a farm here. It's actually on Occidental Road. It's 5 acres. It was an old heirloom apple farm. We started tasting some of the apples just in that farm alone and realized they were very different from what we were getting in the grocery. And so that was a spark to say, these are beautiful apples. What can we do with them? So part of what we started doing is experimenting with them. But to answer your question, sort of rev two on the farm is that we are now planting proper cider varietal apples, which will give us that tannic and the depth to what you really talk about in cider. So we sort of, this is our first version, and we're sort of waiting and getting more and more tannic apples as they come in, and we'll be adding those to our ciders.
And why tannic? Is it because it preserves them? Is that?
Well, there's a couple things that I think come into it, and Ryan can add in here too. We've learned a couple things. We approach cider in a way where we blend, and so we're bringing in all of our fruit independently first. So we bring in our Gravs, we bring in our Goldens, we bring in all the fruits separately. And so what we like to do is be able to have what we call a spice rack. And basically we take a set of baseline site of juice and we add on top of that. So what we're trying to do is layer the complexity of the ciders. And the way we do that is the differentiators in fruit. And when you ask about cider fruit, it's only the tannic, some of the alcohol content, and those can be bricks of 18 to 22. So they really change the dynamic of the ciders. And so we often look at, you know, the grape growers around here, what they're doing in blending. They're looking for individual grapes that make a great wine. We are looking for individual apples that make a great cider.
Great. So you're the kind of the apple geek part of the team. Is that an accurate?
Oh, certainly. Self-anointed, and I love wearing that hat for sure.
So are you tending the apples yourself, looking out and making sure when they're using your refractometer, are they ready to pick? Are you the one that's looking for coddling moths? And
how
active and interactive are you?
Well, you're looking at it right here. I mean, Ned and I are incredibly hands-on. Our fingerprints are on every part of the cider-making process, from the orchard all the way through to the bottle. And this time of year, we're running around to all of our orchards. Our Gravensteins just got picked yesterday, actually, and they'll be pressed next week. And so we're out there in the orchard, and, you know, maturity is a little bit different every year. You know, as maybe you guys remember, the Gravensteins came in almost 2 weeks earlier last year.
Yes.
So we're really excited to see the difference from year to year. And to sort of piggyback on what Ned said about cider apples, traditionally, we've oftentimes used these apples that aren't great to eat out of hand. But if you eat an apple out of hand and there's something beautiful there, if you know what you're doing, you can usher that through to the glass and cider. And we're sitting at the Gravenstein Fair, and it should be said that the Gravenstein itself is a beautiful cider apple. And there's a lot of 100% Gravenstein ciders out there today that I think are just absolutely incredible.
So what are we tasting first?
So this is the Gravitude, which is...
Gravitude.
Gravitude is what we named this cider. 85% Gravenstein apple in here. We have a mix also of a little bit of Jonathan in here and also a little bit of Rhode Island Greening. And again, when we bring this together, the Gravenstein apple in its, of itself is a beautiful apple to work with. It's a great workhorse in terms of a base blend, but it needs some work to round it out. And so we bring in those apples.
So for people who've never had dry ciders, dry alcoholic ciders, this is bone dry. This is not, there's no sweetness. Perceptible sweetness.
Yeah, so that's in the perceptible sweetness is exactly what we would say. So we are doing a dry cider. What we do is we reserve a little bit of the juice back, and that is putting less than 1% is going back into that. What that does do is it brings the apple back, the flavor back, but it is not perceptible in any kind of sweetness. So when we talk about sweetness, and Ryan could add to this a little bit, but there's a misconception. Sweet ciders are, 10, 20% sweet back off, and you'll see that, and you really taste that. This is just a way to preserve the actual original apple taste.
So what do you serve dry, hard ciders with? What foods?
What can't you serve it with? I mean, that's really what we're so excited about. I mean, I think this is an alcohol that is 7.5% instead of 14, 12, which you get in wine. It is, obviously dry. It has that apple Christmas to it. I mean, we've been lucky enough to have this in a local retailers here, but we're also going into restaurants now, and they love it because it's an early appetizer story. It can go spicy. It can go, you can dry it right up front, or you can just mix it in with a lot of different things. So, and they also like to cook with it. I mean, cider is one of these things that are wonderful to cook with. You'll see using cider to braise things with, things like that. So it's sort of an all-around workhorse.
Well, this is beautiful. This is the Ethic Cider's Gravitude Sparkling Dry Cider from Sonoma County. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and you brought another cider for us to taste also. Where is this available retail in the area?
So right now, locally, we're in Andes, the community market. We're up at the Bohemian Market up in Occidental.
Beautiful. This is Ethic Ciders. Just bottled, several months ago. This is their first inaugural bottling, and it's great to have them at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. Sitting in with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. It is live radio. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour live on KSRO.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week all summer.
Fresh produce is abundant in Petaluma with three farmers markets all summer long. The East Side Market on McDowell is year-round on Tuesdays from 10 to 1:30. Then Wednesday evenings 4:30 to 8 in the Theater District and Saturdays from 2 to 5:30 in Walnut Park. Three opportunities for fresh, local summer fruits, veggies, locally produced foods and goods, kids areas, live music, food trucks, and booths at all the markets. From Tip's Tri-Tip Trolley to little bites of amazing food from Tokes and Croaks to Cousin's Maine Lobster, fresh summer strawberries, microgreens, broccoli, herbs, dried tomatoes, apricots, peaches, nectarines, blueberries, chicken and duck eggs, potatoes, onions, cabbage, and beans, cheese, teas, and fresh baked bread. Breads and pastries, and live music.
For more info on your local farmers markets, go online to communityfarmersmarkets.com.
Hi, this is Don Johnson. That's right, the Don Johnson of Fountain Grove Lending. The housing market is hot, but buying a home can be a challenge in today's lending environment. As a loan broker, I represent you, the buyer, not the bank. And I'm not some stranger in cyberspace. I'm right here with over 30 years of experience working through the maze of financing options right by your side. Call me, the Don Johnson of Fountain Grove Lending, 481-5500. Your home is your greatest asset and your greatest liability. You need a reliable, seasoned professional to help you structure your real estate financing. If you have a substantial down payment but haven't qualified for a loan because you're self-employed or have trouble showing qualified income, I have programs that can help you. Call me, the Don Johnson, 481-5500. Whether purchasing or refinancing, I can save you money today. Call me, the Don Johnson of Fountain Grove Lending, 481-5500.
Licensed by the BRE number 00950638 and MLS number 350689.
Did I show you this picture of my nephew taken at his big birthday surprise at my sister's house last Sunday? This is Monday and I'm making pies. Thank you.
Broadcasting live at the Gramercy Apple Fair, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. It's the Good Food Hour, and there is so much good food at the Gramercy Apple Fair.
Yes, there is.
You really can't go wrong, from Greek food all the way through vegan cuisine, organic hot dogs. Remember we tasted those last year?
Yeah.
Were they good? And corn dogs. Those were really good. We have the farmer's wife. We have hand-popped kettle corn. There's grass-fed burgers. There's Indian cuisine, shaved ice. They've got Kozlowski's apple pies. We tasted the apple, grandma's apple fritters last hour.
Look at right next to us, almost in our lap, mom's apple pie.
It's mom's apple pie is right next to us. Willie Bird is here. Rocker Oysterfellers will be on the show in a bit. Petaluma Poultry is doing spiced cider wings. Mm. Wouldn't that be good with apple cider?
Yeah.
What's our next apple cider from Ethic Ciders?
So the second one we're going to taste is our Golden Rule blend. And this actually goes back to your early conversation of what apples are maybe proper to use in cider. So 85% of this blend is the very common Golden Delicious apple, which is the second most popular apple that you might see in the grocery stores. But what we saw was that when those actually ripen to their fullest on the tree, you get a very different fruit than what you normally have in the grocery store. And we saw something beautiful there to showcase or to give people a different take on something that's oftentimes right in front of us. So you all are tasting into that. Again, incredibly dry all the way across. We do back blend a little bit of the sweet back original juice in there, which just kind of ups the mouthfeel a little bit and pops out that fresh apple-ness in there. But still reads as really dry on your palate.
So how do these age? And do you age them? Or is the whole idea to drink them when they're fresh and young?
I mean, they're pretty darn beautiful when they go right into the bottle, but they are set up in a way where they will age as well. I'd say 2 to 3 years is probably how you want to age it.
Yeah.
Again, this is our first commercial release with these as well, so...
So you'll find
these
out.
These are the guinea pigs right now. So report back, and we will as well. But the idea is that we put something together here that could age as well as be really beautiful.
Would you ever cask age these, put these in barrels?
You could. We're not playing with oak initially. Uh-huh. You know, I think one of the most beautiful things and telling things about cider making is that it really, you know, as makers, it really shows your hand, right? So we're not using these ciders you're tasting never touch oak. They're done their whole life through in stainless, and they're really darn delicate. They just don't have the sugar and they don't have the acids of white wine grapes. And so it's kind of all put out there. There's no hiding the flaws if those come up in there. And we're kind of excited about that. There's something really authentic
about
it.
It's great. So is it fair to say they're champagne-like, but without the fizz?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we were after in a lot of ways, is just a clean, clear, crisp representation of the apple. We saw something beautiful hanging on the tree, and we wanted to usher that through to the consumer in the glass.
And this is 100% Golden Delicious?
It's 85% Golden Delicious. There's a little bit of Jonathan in there, which adds that just iconic apple weightiness. A little Rhode Island greening, which has the punchy acids to it, a smidge of tannins. And there's actually a little bit of Gravenstein that goes back in there as well.
What a remarkable blend.
Yeah,
it's quite different than the first one, the 100%.
But really apple-y.
Yes.
You know, but apple in a... I mean, we're so used to having sweetness associated with apples. So there's all this fruit, but it's dry, you know, which is kind of plays with your mind.
Yeah. And one of the things that's exciting for us is, there are people in this county that know cider very well, which is one of the things we thought about. We had to bring something quite special to the table. But there's a number of people that have never tried cider before. And what we've found is the people who have never tried cider before and introducing them to this, they would almost respond like, what is that? I've never tasted anything like that before. And it's really quite exciting because we're turning on a lot of people that just don't have any sense of cider, and we're coming kind of straight away clean to them and delivering something really nice.
So the whole cider movement has just kind of, not only here but around the country, has just exploded. Why?
Well, I think you're tasting it in a lot of ways. I mean, I think there's something really refreshing about cider. It's incredibly food friendly when made dry like this, especially. It's a little lower alcohol than wine, which people really like, but it's refreshing like beer as well. So it's kind of the best of all worlds. And what we're trying to produce here is something that's complex but approachable. It kind of isn't as inaccessible as wine often is. You know, you stand in front of the wine shelf and you're like, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. And so for folks that want to drop into something or bring something really beautiful to a dinner party to their wine drinking friends, I think this is a real crowd pleaser.
And I would just add one thing on the craft part has really been moving cider, right? So craft beer, and the craft movement. We're on the backs of that, and I think that that's ushering in cider and the interest there. So clearly the beer folks who've introduced this idea of craft to America again, I think cider is really playing well there.
How many cases of this are you producing?
We produced about 1,000 cases this year.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a pretty good initial production run, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, still a tiny producer in the grand realm of things. But yeah, for our first year, you know, we put a stake in the ground for sure.
So are you planting new trees or are you grafting over?
We're doing both. We have a 3-acre orchard, and so we have some trees that are what's called topped worked, where you actually will cut down the top of the old tree and you'll graft over, do a little tree surgery, one of my favorite things, graft over to different varieties that we're more interested in, and that'll bring them into production in about 3 years. And then we've also planted back a bunch of new varieties as well. And in a lot of ways, it's a really exciting thing for West Sonoma County. It's like the Pinot Noir coming here for the first time again. We're using a bunch of European varieties that really haven't been grown here commercially. So what shows up in those ultimately is a grand adventure, which is really exciting.
So part of the economics of growing anything, and in Sonoma County, the reason that a lot of apple orchards went away was because you can make more money growing grapes.
Sure.
So can you survive growing apples?
I think we're still all leaning into that. I mean, it's a really young industry here. Most producers are less than 5 years old. The nice thing about cider apples is you don't have to grow for aesthetics, which is where most of that money is in growing apples, right? You just like have to have this picture perfect apple that's sitting on the shelf for the consumer to pick it up. They can be pretty darn ugly apples. And in fact, oftentimes the ugly apples have better flavor. Mm. So with that, they can ratchet back the amount of labor that goes into them. And I think there is a sweet spot in there. I don't know if we'll be seeing them pulling out vineyards anytime soon, but, you know, our goal is to kind of preserve the orchards that are there by creating a new economy around apples. And I'll just say somewhat anecdotally, but as a kid growing up here in West Sonoma County, for the first time since I'm a kid, I'm seeing energy going back into maintaining the apple orchards, particularly the Gravensteins here with the help of Slow Foods and the sort of notoriety that Gravensteins have gotten. And that's a really heartening thing, and I think it's a trend heading in the right direction.
And so where do you press the apples? Do you pick them and then you take them to be pressed?
So we do.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. We have I'm laughing because I'm going back to the idea that we actually pressed them all at the farm at our place. We had a hand crank, and we did that for two years. And that was, you know, we got a couple of gallons, 7 gallons, and we realized, obviously, we were going to outgrow that. So there is a farm up the hill, Ken Ratzlaff, who's been around a long time.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, thanks to him, he invested actually quite a bit back into his production facility, and he has a brand new press up there, which is state of the art. And really, a lot of our cider makers rely on him to help us. It's an organic press. It's run by his guys. We can take our fruit up to him. He schedules with us. He presses it for us when we want it and bring it back to us. So we're really thankful to have that in this county.
Yeah. So, and it's done as you pick them, you bring them in, you wash the apples,
yep.
You press the apples, and that's all you do to them. And then they're right into the bottle at that point.
Well, or the blending.
Well, actually, they go into the fermenters at that point. And so we're really looking to see what each of those varieties has to say. And so the varieties come in, and we single ferment them sometimes across multiple yeast, and then we actually do all of our back blending post fermentation. So the Gravensteins will come in, we'll ferment them all the way through. And then we'll bring in those other blend components. And the Gravenstein that you taste here, our Gravitude, there's a little bit of Jonathan and a little bit of Rhode Island greening as well at about 10% on top of that. And sort of just like humans, apples are best with friends. And so we do all that on the backside.
So I don't know this, but are the yeasts that are used for cider different than what are used for grapes? Or do you use... They're not wild yeast.
We're not using wild yeast. I mean, they were wild at one point.
Yeah.
They've been cultured.
Yeah.
And so we're really using the best of the aromatic white wine making knowledge, and we're bringing that over to apples. I think wine knows a hell of a lot about showing through terroir and respecting fruit. And so we want to bring that over to cider making.
Well, it sounds like a winning formula
to me. Yes, and they're just delicious. You know, you're absolutely right. They're clean. They're crisp. They're on a hot day like today. I think it's going to be warm this afternoon. I might drink several bottles of this. How about you?
I'll take a few bottles here if they've got any extra.
Excellent.
Why don't we take a break? And by the way, isn't there a new kind of operation up at John Ash and Company? A new restaurant?
Yeah, a brand new restaurant, which it's actually in the inn itself, in the Vintner's Inn. For years, ever since the Vintner's Inn was there, we did breakfast in the morning. It was a bed and breakfast. And so I had a little kitchen and a little facility to feed really breakfast to guests who were staying there. Well, it's just expanded now into a 90-seat restaurant that's open for both breakfast and lunch. And Tom Schmidt has done a really amazing menu. So if you're driving by looking for a good breakfast, good lunch.
Fantastic. It's called River Vine Cafe.
Yeah.
And it's adjacent to John Ash and Company Restaurant.
It's in the inn itself, in Vintner's Inn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
We'll have to head up and look at this. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan Johnston and Ned Lawton from Ethic Ciders. You can taste your ciders today in the cider tent. Is that
cider
correct?
Tent, and we also be over at the Artisan Tasting Lounge, too, as well.
You can go online and find out where your ciders are available on your website.
That's right.
And I'd love to invite anyone as well. We're in a couple retail locations, but anyone, anywhere in California and even across the U.S. can order online and purchase directly through our website as well. So I invite people to check out ethicciders.com, and that's a great way to get our products.
Fantastic.
Well, continued success. It was delightful meeting you and tasting your products again. Best of success to both you guys.
Such a pleasure, gentlemen.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll taste a little food. How about that?
Something with apples.
So hopefully with apples. It's Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash live at the Gravenstein Apple Fair, our 21st year here and our 30th hosting the KS Ardo Good Food Hour. It's remarkable. We started when we were, 12, 13, and here we are 31 years later. This is KSRO.
Attention investors, protect your IRA or 401k by storing your retirement at home with an Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRA. Call Augusta today at 888-852-4788 for a free guide on transferring a portion of your IRA or 401k into approved physical gold and silver coins and store them in your safe at home or at your local bank. Call 888-852-4788 today and discover how you can get up to $2,000 in silver free. Call 888-852-4788. That's 888-852-4788.
This month at Graton Resort and Casino, we're giving away cars, cash, and more. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play and win up to $30,000 in prizes. And hit the road to riches on August 25th. You could win a Nissan 370Z Roadster. Plus, sign up for Graton Rewards and you could get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Sonoma County Farm Trails presents the 44th annual Gravenstein Apple Fair this August 12th and 13th at Regal Ranch Park in Sebastopol. We hope you'll join us. There's something for everyone. Arts and crafts, spectacular local food, including everything Gravenstein. Craft cider, wine, and microbrews, live music on two stages featuring Solid Air, Linda Tillery, Gator Nation, and more. Be sure to visit the Artisan Tasting Lounge and Do-It-Yourself Arena, as well as the popular chef's tent for delicious tastes and demonstrations. Kids will enjoy our Life on the Farm area, fun apple-themed contests, and engaging crafts and activities, plus delightful performances, including Circus Waldissimo. Discounted tickets are available now. Visit GravensteinAppleFair.com for more information. We'll see you this August 12th and 13th at the sweetest little fair in Sonoma County. Thanks to our generous major sponsors, Dutton Ranch, North Coast Apple Products, Whole Foods Sebastopol, and the County of Sonoma.
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, He's been good to me. I owe the Lord so much for everything I see. I'm certain if it weren't for Him, there'd be no apples on this limb. Yes, He's been good to me.
Broadcasting live at the Gravenstein Apple Fair, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour, and we have a glorious plate of food provided by Chef Natalie Goebel of Handline Restaurant right here in Sebastopol, California. Natalie joined us with Lowell Sheldon a while back to talk about the opening of Handline here in Sebastopol, and you've brought these beautiful fish tacos for us. Thank you, Chef.
So I know all about these. I've had them several times at Handline.
They're really
delicious. And you do everything there. You make the tortillas.
We do, yeah. We boil and grind all of our own corn to make the tortillas in-house. All of it's done right there on site.
You do too much work. No, you don't.
I can't argue with that.
Well, you
I'm going to have to agree.
You started at Peter Lowell's and was the executive chef there for a while. Uh-huh. And then you worked with Lowell Sheldon to open up Handline,
That's
which
right.
is the old Foster Freeze.
It is, yeah.
Restaurant on Gravenstein Highway.
Yeah.
And you kept the bones, but improved the food, kept the soft serve, but a different producer, and that's Strauss Family Farms.
Yeah, we use a beautiful organic Strauss product for the soft serve.
So the secret to great tacos, what are they?
Well, great fish.
Great fish. It all starts with the fish, yeah. Definitely. We're really proud to have the opportunity to work directly with a couple really awesome purveyors of seafood based out of San Francisco.
We're trying the fish. Well, keep talking.
Yeah, please do, by all means. that are really focused on sourcing sustainable seafood from up and down our coast. So this fish in particular came from water to table. And
what fish is? What kind of fish?
It's rockfish.
It's rockfish. Mm-hmm. Is that always what you use in the tacos?
It is always what we use. We find that it stands up best to being battered and fried. It kind of maintains a really nice, moist, succulent nature as opposed to drying out, which can happen in a deep fryer.
A little cornmeal in the crust, possibly?
No, actually, it's a straight tempura batter style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. It has flour, organic flour.
Rice flour?
It's wheat flour.
You know what's really nice about it? It's not heavy. So often, fish tacos, it's all the batter, and where's the fish?
Yeah, so rather than incorporating eggs into our batter, we use beer as the liquid component, mm-hmm. which adds kind of a nice, it gives it lift because it has carbonation, but it adds a nice kind of complexity of flavor.
So you do so many other wonderful dishes at the restaurant. Can you give us a quick rundown of the menu?
Sure. We do a number of different styles of ceviche and crudo, kind of featuring what's in season and super fresh coming from our local waters. We also do a kind of Foster's Freeze inspired burger.
So what is that?
French fry.
you have to tell listeners.
We've affectionately dubbed it the Inglewood Burger because the first Foster's Freeze was and still is actually in Inglewood, California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's sort of inspired by that fast food style burger, kind of a thin patty cooked a little bit past mid-rare, a nice silky, we use a local cheese. To kind of mimic an American cheese feeling cheese.
But better.
Thousand Island. Yeah. We use organic iceberg.
Yeah. Beautiful burger. So today at the fair, you're serving the tacos, the fish tacos.
That's right.
And what is this?
That is a watermelon agua fresca.
You're serving that also at Handline.
We are, yeah.
And I understand you're doing a demo discussion tomorrow afternoon. Is that?
I am, yeah. I'll be at the demo tent making a Gravenstein apple and fennel soup.
With a walnut crumb and a wild fennel pollen.
Yeah.
So gilding
and
the
fennel
lily.
Fennel pollen.
Fennel pollen.
That's a completely exotic flavoring, I think, for most people.
It is. And the funny thing is that word exotic, it grows right here along the roadside all over California.
Uh-huh.
To harvest it is a little bit labor intensive because you have to let the flowers dry and then kind of shake the
pollen. Do you actually go out and harvest it?
I have done it a number of times. Yeah.
Well, make sure you eat some of these tacos today and go to Natalie's demo tomorrow and also either eat or go to Peter Lowell's restaurant in Sebastopol or the new Handline restaurant on Highway 116. You're open 7 days a week,
Days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. We do a late night happy hour kind of on the last.
The other thing I congratulate you for there is the service, the way that you have it there. You can get in and get out.
Mm-hmm.
Go order and then go sit down at one of your lovely tables and it's brought to you so you don't have to spend the whole night there if you don't want to.
Yeah, it's designed to be fast, casual
Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
Yeah, of course.
We'll take a break
me.
Because there's some beautiful candied apples staring us in the face that we have to dive into. Live at the Gravenstein Apple Fair, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, back after this. This is KSRO.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
At American Ag Credit, our business is agriculture. So when you need to purchase livestock or you're looking for financing options for operating expenses, we're here to help with competitive rates, flexible terms, and service that is second to none. Our sole focus is agriculture, just like yours. Call us at 800-800-4865 or visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Are you impulsive? Would you jump out of a plane to prove a point? Would you shave your head on a dare? Would you save a life if you had the chance? Channel your impulse to save lives by giving blood. Learn how by calling Blood Centers of the Pacific at 888-393-4483 or by visiting bloodcenters.org. Go ahead, jump into saving lives and make a difference to patients in need. Call Blood Centers of the Pacific, 888-393-4483 or visit bloodcenters.org.
Hey, it's Natalia from Fogline Vineyards inviting you to finally stop by. You've probably driven past the red umbrellas for years and haven't pulled in. So let me tempt you with some of our fabulous summer wines. Meet Flora, one of our newest releases, and a refreshing white wine with a tropical bouquet and a cider finish. It's unlike anything you've tasted before. We've also got our chilled rosé, perfect for those outdoor summer barbecues and warm days on the river. Come by and see us. Look for the red umbrellas on River Road near Fulton Road. Fogline Vineyards, rise above the fog.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies, warm temps for your weekend. Today, clear skies at 83, 68 on the coast. Clear tonight as well, low 55 inland and on the shores. Sunny for Sunday at 85, 71 in Bodega Bay. Monday has a few clouds at 80 degrees, 66 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
I like to eat, eat, eat apples and bananas. I like to eat, eat, eat apples and bananas. I like to eat, eat, eat apples and bananas. I like to eat, eat, eat apples and bananas. I like to
broadcasting live from the 44th annual Gravenstein Apple Festival. I'm Steve Garner in beautiful Regal Ranch Park, along with my co-host Chef John Ash. It's the Good Food Hour, and now we get into what the portion of the program, John, I call girth control.
This is G-I-R-T-H.
Yes,
okay.
This is our this sweet part of the show.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts, and with that, we want to start our little sweet tasting with Oyster Rockefellers from beautiful Valley Forge, California. Shona, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Your better half, Brandon, will be here possibly.
He will. He will be here all day tomorrow. I've been doing the caramel apples for the last 2 years. We finally figured out the formula, I think, this year. So we're really
excited. The formula for the caramel?
Yes.
How to do it?
Well, we've had that, but we were dipping them before at the restaurant bringing them over.
Yeah.
So that was we're dipping them here on site, which is
fantastic.
A lot better. Yeah. Yeah.
So did it break down in transport?
The caramel would slide off the beautiful organic apples. So we were making trips back and forth between the restaurant and in the park. So
so what's the secret to caramel? You don't have to give your recipe, but
you know, it's consistency. I mean, it is a science. It's hard to make it. It's it's easy to make it in small batches, but we do about 1,000 apples here, so we are making very large batches. So the secret is just making sure your measurements are correct and the temperature. Really, at the end of the day, it's making sure that temperature is correct.
And when I was talking to Brandon, he said these were kind of cajeta style.
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Well, we usually use the goat's milk. It has a little bit of cinnamon and vanilla. So those are some of the components. And then, of course, butter and sugar. So we make it that way. So we add a little bit of cinnamon in it, a little vanilla, and then, of course, all the other ingredients.
These are just marvelous. And where do you get the apples?
These are organic apples from the Graal Gravensteins from Kozlowski Farm.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, they're a wonderful apple. It's got a beautiful sweetness and softness to us that really absorbs the caramel. And you sell these wrapped in plastic, or how do you selling these?
Well, because we dip them here, we do have some little plastic bags to take for the wax paper bags for people to take with them. But we encourage people to eat them here. They do travel, you know, they're a little sticky. So
yes.
You can take them to go, but I think they're best eaten as soon as possible.
And so you're doing one product at the fair.
We are.
Only dipped apples.
Just dipped apples, but I'm sure all day long people will be asking me about oysters. So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, do you have oysters?
And I just say right down the road.
Yeah. Now, Brandon, I don't think is doing a demo this year, is he?
He's not. Uh-huh. No.
He has every year we've had him
he
on.
He has. We had a catering event today, so he usually does it on Saturday.
So give us a quick rundown of what is Oyster Rockefellers.
Well, we like to just call ourselves a comfortable roadhouse out in West Sonoma County. We have lots of oysters. We have different specials. We primarily do Southern-inspired food, but just kind of comfort food, California comfort food.
It's so beautiful out there where the restaurant is.
We're
and I
so
think
lucky.
Sometimes people think, oh, it's so far to go, and it's not.
It's really not. It's we call it 20 minutes from everywhere, because we're 20 minutes from wine country, 20 minutes from Petaluma, 15 from Sebastopol, you know.
It's really, you can't miss it.
Unless, you can't miss it. Well, you can if you blink.
Well, if you blink, you go through, because Valley Ford takes, let's face it, 32 seconds to go through, approximately.
If you're driving slow.
If you're driving slow. But you can't miss this restaurant. It's really a destination between Bodega Bay and Petaluma and Sebastopol and even Santa Rosa.
What are your hours?
We're open Thursday to Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Thursday night, we do a really awesome dollar oyster Thursday night when we get all of our oysters in.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
We do. It's very fun. So we're 5 to 8:30 on Thursday. And Friday. Friday's our fish taco night, but I saw those fabulous fish tacos from Hanline. Man,
yeah.
That made me hungry for those. And then Saturday and Sunday. Sunday we do an all day. We're open from 10 to 8:30. We do brunch as well. So
thank you for bringing these beautiful caramel apples.
Yeah.
Say hello to Brandon. We'll come back and we will taste the apple pie from last year's grand prize winner of the Gravenstein Apple Pie Contest. How about that?
Fantastic.
Okay. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, live at the Gravenstein. This is the Good Food Hour on KSRO.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Bueller. Bueller.
The Alexander Valley Film Society brings back the drive-in movie with a screening of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Saturday, August 19th at the Citrus Fair Fairgrounds in Cloverdale. Enjoy an authentic drive-in experience complete with a jumbo screen, local food and wine, and country surroundings. Proceeds will support the Alexander Valley Film Society's educational and cultural programs. Car tickets are $50. Bring your own chair and buy an individual ticket for just $15. Go online to purchase your tickets now. Prices go up at the door. Families, foodies, film fans, and supporters of the Alexander Valley Film Society will enjoy local food and drinks from Pick's Drive-In, Abby's Taqueria, and Flower Girl, plus beer and wine from the ABFS cellar. Get to the drive-in Saturday the 19th for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Doors at 6:30, movie at 8:15. Cloverdale Citrus Fair Fairgrounds. Tickets online at avfilmsociety.org. Brought to you by Global Sports Foundation, Dr. Stephen Ungerleader, and Mrs. Joanna Rice.
Geez, Aaron, am I reading this promotion right? Is Sonoma Backyard really offering 18 months no payments and no interest on all patio? Maybe you've been spending a little too much time in the sun.
You are reading it right. We're offering 18 months no payments and no interest on all patio on approval of credit. At Sonoma Backyard, our showroom is busting at the seams with over 50 patio sets and premium outdoor furniture. You don't have to settle for what's remaining in stock when you can select from a showroom overflowing with the selection you deserve. There's still plenty of summer and great Sonoma County warm weather. Let Sonoma Backyard transform your backyard while you skip payments and interest for 18 months. Most everything's in stock so it can go home with you today.
It's the final week. 18 months, no payments, no interest on all patio on approval of credit, but you better hurry. This promotion ends Sunday. Sonoma Backyard, just off the 101 on Redwood Drive in Katahdin. Go to SonomaBackyard.com. Sonoma Backyard, entertaining your backyard dreams.
Think, Johnny, of all the things that apples make. There's apple pickles, oh so tasty, apple tarts and apple pasty, apple dumplings, not to mention apple sass. apple fritters, lighters, thistle, and for folks to wet their whistle, tangy apple cider in a glass. Stew him, fry him,
broadcasting boil. Live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair, I'm Steve Gruner along with Chef John Ash, and we want to sound the trumpet as we welcome last year's official Best of Show Apple Pie winner, Maria Hawkerson.
Yeah. So where's your crown? Don't you have a crown?
It was made of dried apples, and it didn't make it the whole year. So you have brought a recreation of the winning pie recipe for us to taste this morning. It is delicious. I would like to say I remember it exactly from a year ago, but I don't. I'm remembering that I loved it then, and I love it again. And after we chat with you, we will be walking over to the Chamber of Commerce booth, where you and me and Annie from Sebastopol Cookie Company will be judging this year's entries for best pie of the show.
So
are you prepared for the task?
How many entries were there last year? How many?
22.
22.
22, so and I entered two pies thinking, okay, double my chance.
Yeah.
Well, you won. Congratulations.
Thank
Have you entered before?
Never entered. First time ever. So felt pretty lucky.
There's people that enter this year after year after year and never win.
I didn't realize it.
And have you been an apple pie maker all of your life?
Pretty much all my adult life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I enjoy it. I love baking with Gravensteins.
It makes a difference
to
be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And especially, and your crust is so delicious.
Oh, thank you.
And I know Steve, being the expert on apple pies, the first thing he looked at was the bottom crust to make sure it wasn't soggy.
Uh-huh.
I start at the bottom and work up when I taste pie.
You've got experience.
Yes, I do. And maybe this will be my almost 17th year judging pie. Thank you for bringing the recipe. And what impressed me, of course, was the first bite was the flakiness of the crust. Mm-hmm. And we have to credit our friend Lard with part of that. And some shortening.
Lard.
Well, a little bit of ups. And it's a shortening crust.
Yeah.
A lot of them are all butters. You go with a shortening and lard crust.
Yep.
Have you experimented with butter, or you just really like the texture?
I used to use all butter, and everybody liked my crust then. But I pretty much did a lot of research before I baked my pie and just came up with this recipe, and it works out great. I've never used vinegar or egg in my pie crust recipe before. Used it, and it does the trick.
What difference did it make to use vinegar?
I want to say the flakiness. Mm-hmm. It helps, along with a little bit of lard and the shortening, of course. It's not for the weak at heart, but it's very tasty.
It's fascinating to me because it used to be, for all of us who grew up with Julia Child, it was always all butter crust. You know, that was the only thing. And now people are adding vinegar to the crust, vodka to help. And I guess it really helps with that lightness and flakiness.
Yeah, and to top it off, a friend of mine said she grew up and her mother always brushed the top crust with canned milk, and that makes it really nice.
A little evaporated milk.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
So that's what you do also to get that nice browning.
Yeah.
And I like the balance. Sometimes pies are done in by someone answering the phone and forgetting that they're dumping up half a cup of cinnamon and nutmeg in their pie and just, way too much. So you used a judicious amount of seasoning, which was just lovely. Your apples are cooked, but they're not mush.
Yes.
And yet they're not raw. And you wouldn't believe how many pies, unfortunately, fail because of that. The seasoning's right, the crust is great, but the apples are just undercooked or overcooked.
So did you cook the apples ahead of time or not?
No, I did not.
Just in the pie?
Just in the pie.
Okay.
I usually just try to use very fresh apples, that helps with not creating a lot of juice.
Well, it's
See, I'm
dollars.
Eating pie. I can't talk.
Yes.
So do you come from a pie making family?
I do. My grandmother taught me how to make pie crust. And what I learned about that was you got to keep practicing. So
it's so much of it is by feel.
Yes.
I mean, yes, you can have a recipe, but the moisture during the day can be different.
Exactly.
So you have to get it.
Yeah.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up, my dad was in the military, and so I kind of grew up all over, but I landed in Petaluma, California, and my grandmother from Larkspur taught me how to do the crust, and just practice. The more you do, the better you get.
Oh, is that true? Do you make other pies?
Pretty much just the Gravenstein apple. So once in a while, I'll make pumpkin.
Well, you
something.
Do so well.
Thank you.
Don't.
It's
you
a
don't have
fun.
To go there.
Well, and I also like to not put a lot of the spices in because the Gravenstein is so good and tasty that I want you to be able to taste the apple, too.
Well,
so that's kind of my trick.
You have succeeded in this. And do you usually use the metal pie pans to cook them in, not Pyrex?
I did both as an experiment last year, the glass and the metal. Mm-hmm. The glass seemed to produce more juice and soggy bottom. So the metal, I stick with the metal and recommend that now.
Well, that's it. I never heard that explanation before.
Yeah. So there's another question I have for you as an expert pie baker.
Okay.
So what about light metal as opposed to dark metal? Does that make a difference?
Oh.
I've heard that one browns the crust a little more. Or so. Is that true?
I am.
This is nice.
I was hoping you'd like it. It's my special recipe.
I'm sorry, sir, but it appears as though your credit card has been declined.
Did everyone hear that? This person, right here, credit card, declined. Oh. If we can please have an awkward silence the next 10 seconds.
Whoa, what's with the megaphone?
Just trying to properly illustrate your embarrassment and humiliation to the public, sir.
What?
If everyone could start mumbling and shaking their heads. Nice, ma'am, I like that, with the pointing. Mm. He's shaking like a leaf. Good job.
Hey, buddy, please, I'm with a date here. Look, so I'm late on a few payments. I'll make it up next month. Promise.
Mm-hmm. He promises to pay it all back next month. Can we have an aww?
Aww.
Don't worry, Adam. It happens to everybody. This has no effect on our date whatsoever.
Really?
Yes, really. There just won't be another one. See ya.
And she's off.
Wait, come back. I have other cards. I have other restaurants.
Putting more on your card than you can afford to spend can lead to even bigger problems, like public humiliation. Don't let your credit put you in a bad place. Go to controlyourcredit.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Treasury and the Ad Council.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings. Every 30 minutes all the time. On FM News Talk Radio. 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. KSRO.
Ah, Bodega Bay. The jewel of the Sonoma Coast. Right in the center of town sits the Inn at the Tides, featuring a beautiful hotel with magnificent gardens and views of the bay, and the Bayview Restaurant, serving authentic Italian cuisine.
Ingredients are all locally sourced and organic when available. Start with a Dungeness crab and avocado tower with tomato gazpacho drizzled with a citrus herb oil, or the grilled calamari over arugula salad topped with black olive tapenade dressing. Then try entrees like crab cioppino in a saffron tomato sauce and veal piccata. Or how about the grilled filet Hitchcock?
I'm not sure what.
Filet mignon stuffed with Dungeness crab, demi-glace, and a béarnaise sauce. Vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free customers are welcome too.
The Inn at the Tides. It's less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and master gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romana beans, and Libby's own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish. And Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. Need non-dairy? Visit Creative Cashew Cream. They have spreads for both sweet and savory. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods, ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, and hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Final couple minutes with our grand pie tasting.
So you know what that was? That was the Russians.
The Russians did this.
They
inserted some extra commercials in the hour. Maria Hawkerson, grand prize champion from last year. So we've gone through the tasting process, what judging will consist of, the mouthfeel, the flavor, the crust, the filling, the crust consistency, very important. Then the aftertaste. It should have a lovely, lingering, subtle aftertaste of the pie. Nothing unpleasant. The overall taste and flavor is going to, of course, be the ultimate thing we're looking for. How does it hold together as an entity? What makes a great pie? The crust has to melt in your mouth, light, tight, around the edges should look good, baked thoroughly, the filling smooth, no unusual aftertaste. It all sounds so simple, but as you know, it's a dance. It's a very delicate dance.
I like that. That's a great description.
So you and me and Annie from Sebastopol Cookie Company will be heading over to taste pies and judge pies. This will be very exciting for you, believe me.
Yes.
You'll be born again after this experience.
Okay.
You'll be, and you know, again, after the judging, you can enter again. And actually, one of our judges from the past entered again and won again.
Oh.
From years past.
Oh, good.
So
him.
you're not prohibited from entering.
So don't eat too much.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't.
But the only thing I can tell you is pace yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pace yourself.
Yeah. Little bites.
Next week on the Good Food Hour, Deepa will be with us.
Yeah.
Deepa's Secret. So marvelous chef who hails from India, and she is pretty much single-handedly helped cure her husband of lifelong affliction of diabetes,
yeah.
By developing new low-glycemic carbohydrate recipes, substituting the rice with other grains.
And, you know, and what she's done is also something you can do with, it doesn't have to be Indian cooking, it could be anything.
It should be an exciting show.
Yeah.
Thank you, John Ash.
You're welcome.
Thanks to the Gravenstein Apple Fair. We hope you attend this weekend. Enjoy all the festivities. I'm Steve Garner. This is KSRO.
FM News Talk, KSRO, K278CD, Santa Rosa, K233CN, Petaluma.
They had better talk and act.